It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. The Carolinas are facing a slow recovery after Hurricane Florence flooded the southeastern shoreline. So far, the storm has claimed more than 40 lives, and thousands of others are still unable to return to their homes. Jeff Tiberi is the Capital Bureau Chief for WUNC North Carolina Public Radio, and he joins us from Wilmington, North Carolina. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
So in Georgetown County in South Carolina, thousands of people are waiting for more flooding this week. Why are the rivers in the Carolinas continuing to flood after the storm has passed?
So if we think of this from a geographical standpoint, the rivers go from the Appalachian Mountains in the Carolinas, and they flow east and they flow to the south. So as we think about them going from the Smokies, they eventually will flow back toward the Atlantic Ocean and the basins and the sounds that are to the west of the Outer Banks in North Carolina. So what initially happened was the coastal region, the coastal plains, got hit with record amounts of rainfall. And then some of the water did recede, but at the same time, the rivers, which were flowing from further upstream, dumped more water in some of these coastal locations, Georgetown County included. And we've also seen this in North Carolina with the Cape Fear River, where there was just a ton of rain. And then in the days to follow, while the river level went down a little bit, it then came back up some because of all this rain that was being dumped into these areas.
And can you give us a sense of what the recovery process looks like in North Carolina, where you are right now?
So I think it's certainly a mixed bag depending on where you are. There are pockets that know hurricanes well. There are people who have dealt with major storms before. They had big flooding just 2 years ago when Hurricane Matthew came in. Some of the communities, some of the counties in the state, while they did suffer flooding and they did certainly suffer damage with Florence here, people are back and people are really trying to get back to that sense of normal. But there are other places that are still, they're not at that point yet. There are still people that you mentioned, thousands of folks who are still living in shelters in Wilmington. And in one of the nearby beaches here, there are still a number of houses where there are still boards and there are still metal shutters up on houses. And, you know, we're kind of earlier in the stages of recovery, so to speak.
Jeff, was this storm worse than residents expected it to be? And were they sufficiently and adequately prepared for it?
From my perspective, I think a lot of people took the warnings very seriously, and we saw a lot of evacuations. I've lived down here more than 12 years. We've never seen a storm like this in scope. Inevitably, there are going to be people that stay put for one reason or another. I mean, some of that deals with, do you have the means to leave your home for an undetermined number of days? Do you have a vehicle that works? Do you have disposable cash? And there are also people who have been on the coast for 20, 30, 40 years. They wanted to stay near their home. They didn't think this was going to be that bad. One thing that I feel like I have heard in conversation a number of times after the storm was, you know, just looking at this from the number, the category number is not accurate anymore, or wasn't accurate in this, you know, instance to say, oh, it was only a category one storm. That's true. You know, the winds did drop down a little bit before Florence made landfall. But what happened at the same time was the storm increased incredibly in size and the rainfall went way up. So I do think that people took this pretty seriously. Yeah.
And what about some of the more vulnerable populations? You mentioned those folks who might not have been able to evacuate. We talked about some of those populations on the show the other day, whether they be incarcerated people, people who are in hospitals, people who are low income. Did those populations get impacted in any way that was significant that your reporting shows?
I can't point to one specific, but I think that these storms have a disproportionate impact on lower socioeconomic folks. They live in the floodplains. They live in places that are more likely to be hit hard by this. You know, and we're also going to be keeping an eye on how the local, the state, and the federal authorities are doing what they can to try to help these people recover. And it will also be interesting to see, you know, if there are communities that rebuild in a fundamentally different way, and or if there are people that shift where their home is, because a lot of people just dealt with this with Hurricane Matthew 23 months ago. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of small migratory change in some of these coastal plain communities.
Also, another population we haven't talked about is the animal population. North Carolina is a big farming state. What was the impact on livestock after the storm?
So North Carolina is the second largest pork producing state in the country. There are also a lot of chicken farms down here. And the agriculture commissioner, a guy by the name of Steve Troxler, said over the weekend that it's easily going to be in the billions of dollars in terms of lost crops. Now, he was talking about plants and also pigs and chickens. And as we've seen with storms going back several decades, there were thousands of animals that did die, livestock that did die in this storm. And then also kind of an offshoot of this is the environmental impact. When you have lots of pigs in a state, you're going to have lots and lots of waste. So there are what we call hog lagoons near pig farms. And when these storms roll through, the waste that is sitting in you know, those ponds, it overflows. So there is an issue of waste getting into the river systems. And that, you know, that has a number of adverse environmental effects as well.
No, we've heard that North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has called for a special legislative session for next month to deal with the recovery. What do we know about what is expected to be at the top of the list?
So politically, things are hyper-partisan down here. The governor is a Democrat. The legislature is led by veto-proof majorities of Republicans. Fortunately, for the last couple of weeks, it seems like partisanship has largely gone out the window. Cooper called for them to come back in October 9th. A day later, the legislators said, well, we can't wait that long. We need to come back in sooner. So hopefully they can come together on this and they can try to reach some sort of agreement about what needs to be done in the short term. Republican lawmakers have worked pretty diligently to build up the state's savings, the state's rainy day fund in recent years. There's presently a little bit more than $2 billion in there. So my expectation would be that a couple of $100 million at least will be appropriated in the next couple of weeks for some of the hardest hit areas and also for roads and bridges and infrastructure, perhaps schools as well, maybe even boards of elections, because there was really widespread damage, but those things that need to be fixed in the immediacy.
Jeff Tiberi is the Capitol Bureau Chief for WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Tanzina, my pleasure.